morning, it's Sunday.
Ah, yes, Lord.
We thank you for goodness.
Yes.
We thank you that
yes.
You have your favor upon us for whatever reason. Purely a matter of grace. But we thank you for that.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask for your blessing on what gets brought today, O Lord, that it would be your truth that is uncovered, that is revealed, Lord. We ask for that. We ask for light that is not of men, but from heaven. Do that good work and prepare our ears and prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive those good things that you have for your children, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I had a dream last night and a phenomenal experience. And in the dream, and I don't remember the contents of it, but in the dream I remember asking the Lord to help me remember this until today. And I was dreaming all this because my memory has been really bad in stuff that I've had dreams of. I can't remember what it was about. And right at the moment, I don't, but I remember asking the Lord to please bring this to my remembrance. So anyway, so there's where we are.
Yeah. You're waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, pretty much standard operating procedure.
But it'll come through somebody, I'm sure. But anyway, you know, we have kind of played with this a little bit, but the truth is, remember what Steve Faye has said about the Word of God being the only truth in the universe? And I don't know if he really understood what he said, but the only truth in the entire universe is the Word of God. And that's because God is the one that made it. He made everything that exists. So the Word of God is kind of hidden from us, and it takes a while to... The Holy Spirit has to reveal it to us, but that's where the truth is. The truth is contained in God's Word, even if we don't see it all right away. But it's in God's Word, and that was a phenomenal observation on his part. And but you know, the strange thing is, if we can see that, we're among the very few, because most people they have the Bible and they use the Bible and they quote the Bible, but as far as believing that this is truth, it's really not in them. And as a matter of fact, you know, like the Catholic Church, and I know very little about it, but the saints and the you know, the Pope and the priests and so forth, they're more of a truth element than the God's Word. So they can change it if they want to, and they can make up, you know. And I was in a meeting one time with some Lutheran ministers, and I was under the same impression that a lot of people are. And I thought, I am listening to God's elect, you know, the things that they were saying, and one of them said, well, I believe this, and I think this, and I think this, and one of the older ones that was there, and as he was talking, I'm thinking, I am just hearing the truth of God, you know, being spilled, because it didn't occur to me that the Word of God had to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. You know, that wasn't part of my thinking at that point in time, because that's who I was. Well, you know what? That's who a lot of people are. And they think that they hear the priest or the pastor or somebody saying these things, that they're hearing the truth. And I don't want to say too much about that, but that is kind of the way the church operates. And the pastor gets up, and whatever he says is the truth of God, and you know, so they just they go by that. And the thing is, it's not. And so one of the biggest battles is to have the Word of God as the truth of God and keeping it as such. You know.
I remember driving one time and going through the radio dial, and there was a Catholic program on the radio. And the guy was responding to Protestants' objection about, you know, the priest trumped the Bible, or the Pope, the priest, the Pope trumps the Bible, you know. And they were saying, you know, the Protestants do the same thing. Some question comes up about what the meaning of something, and the Protestants will say, well, I got to go talk to my pastor about that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly it.
You know, so it's, they do the same.
And each pastor will have his own rendition,
right,
which is what is why we're so screwed up.
Well,
let me make a bold statement. This week, I know the Holy Spirit gave me a scripture, said it. I was just walking around in the house or whatever, and this scripture came in and said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I thought, wow. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So a lot of people you go to, oh yeah, I hope in the glory, you know. But the first thing that was imprinted on me was, no, Christ in me. And then from there, it just, all these things started coming, and it's all belief, faith, hope, and then love is going to be part of that. And so it was like, do I believe Christ in me? You know, Christ in me, the hope of glory? Yeah, I don't know how, to what degree. And then I started thinking, it's amazing how, because first I went to faith. Do I have faith in that statement? If I have faith in that statement, I can go a long ways in God. I can learn a lot about God. But and through faith, it all came to, and it all ties in. The Word of God is the basis of everything. But I started thinking, so faith, how much is faith involved in the baptism? Because, and then this morning I was reading, and I happened to hear John 17, where Christ is sharing who we are, what we are in Him, da 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 da. And I thought, you know, all of that was really, I mean, John the Baptist was baptizing for the forgiveness of sins. And it says disciples baptized, but you know what? There isn't much mention about actual baptism in the Gospels. It comes later in Acts, where, you know. And I thought, if I believe and have faith, everything that Jesus said in chapter 17, that's a mystery revealed. But it takes, you have to have faith, and faith comes by hearing. And so it was like, how much is the baptism going to mean to me if I don't believe in this, this, and this, or have faith, this, and this? It's not going to mean nothing, hardly, right? Or very little.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I hear these things that you got to go to like Philippians and Colossians and read, kind of ties it, you know, like in Romans 6 with the baptism? Put faith everywhere there. Mm-hmm. To know Him. Okay, Christ in me. I have to believe that Christ is in me. And then I was in, might be Colossians or one of them, where it's saying that if, no, I think it, I think we should probably reference it by the word. It's in Romans 8. Okay, so this is, you know, this is after 7 when Paul's went through everything. But I want to go to like, let's see. Let's go to 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, do you believe Christ is in you? Do you believe the Spirit of God is in you? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, amen, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Then it goes on to say, you become heirs of Christ with Christ, joint heirs with Christ.
Glory.
So, all of that is based on faith and believing, isn't it? I mean, so the more you keep praying that you have the faith to accept that, have more belief, you know, in these things, the more you're going to know Christ. Because he's going to start filling you up.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I think this is the stuff that has to be presented before anybody ever gets baptized. Because if they start knowing this, and they know what Jesus' words are in 17, you know, chapter 17 of John, then it's going to be exciting when you go down and say, I want to identify with him in death and resurrection. And so, I don't know that it's a magical thing that happens, is supposed to happen in baptism. I think it's, if you have faith and believe, it solidifies that, and from there on, you start growing in Christ. You start having him in you, and you are in him. And if you keep reminding yourself of that, and then reading all the places that it says to have faith, and by faith, and in this faith, you know, all of a sudden, faith started jumping out. And then I was reading in through John, when he was preaching, if you believe, you know, what is eternal life? And that's in one of the chapters there in John, that you believe in the one true God and in him whom he sent, Jesus Christ, that's eternal life. So baptism isn't mentioned there. First, you start believing the words of Jesus, all the places he says, believe, 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 believe. Later on, it becomes faith, like in Acts and all the epistles. Faith in the gospel that Jesus Christ presented. Faith in his words, that they are true and you believe them. And if that's happening, then if you can hear that and get to the place where then you say, now, yeah, I want to be baptized. Now, in this, I felt like I don't, at this point, feel the necessity to do that again because I believe the things that have been said about it. that I have died with Christ. Mm-hmm. And that I've been resurrected with Christ. You know, I'm a new creature in Christ. And now someone that's never known that, yes, they need to know that and then be baptized. You know? But all of a sudden, it's like all these attributes of Christ, and where it says, you know, the things that Keith, you quoted, like baptized into Christ. Well, you get all the attributes of what that is in the Word. So then you just start believing that Word, and you'll start being in Christ, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. You know? It seems all of a sudden that simple little phrase, but on that phrase, then it just built into all the other things that the Word gives us that says we can be Christ-like. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been dwelling on what you've been bringing, and I'm going, what is it I need to see? Well, faith is not seen. The things in faith are not seen. So it's, and some of it is kind of like, I don't know, you can't make faith happen necessarily, but you can have faith in God to give you the faith. And you know, I mean, it's funny, but that he's given us enough that we can do that statement. He's given us enough faith to know that he is God, and he is my God, and he will, and it says he will not give the Spirit in measure to those who ask. I come across that, and I went, whoa, I gotta read that again. Mm-hmm. I can have the Spirit without measure if I ask. If I have faith believing that he will, and I know he will do that. Now, in believing things, as I started looking at him again, I started thinking, so I got to start walking in the Spirit more than in the flesh. Mm. You know? I got to start presenting myself to the Spirit more than to the flesh. And you know what? If I do, I have faith to believe that then I am going to go higher in God. I'm going to go farther in God. I'm going to be more like what his word says. I'm going to be like Christ, who I want to identify with. So, and you know what? I think you can believe before you can walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I think it has to go that way.
Yeah.
It has to be that way.
So it's just, I want to say, Lord, I want to start believing these things. Mm-hmm. I really want to start believing these things.
Mm.
You know, I want to believe Christ is in me, the hope of glory, which I do. But I want to believe it a lot more, you know. And it's everywhere you turn after a while, all you see is faith and belief. And then there's hope, hope, hope. And the best of all is I want to learn the love of God and the love of Christ. And it says if you follow my commandments and obey my commandments, you'll love. That's showing you love me. Mm-hmm. And I will love you, and the Father will love you because you love me. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I'm sure there's maybe flaws in a lot, I don't know, but it's before you. And I trust the prophets to, you know, to discern. And it just seemed like all of a sudden faith meant so much more.
Mm.
Because faith is, you know, it is of works, but it's not. You know? You gotta have it in you first. It's gotta, and I don't think there's not a limitation to faith.
Mm.
So if you keep hearing the Word, feeding on the Word, and then asking God for faith, he won't deny us. You know?
As you were bringing, what you were bringing, I realized, oh, it is such a small fraction that I have of what is available. But that was not discouraging to me. Instead, it filled me with anticipation of what a glorious potential, what a glorious future is available to us. You know, we used to sing "Every Promise in the Book is Mine," you know, silly children's song. Hey, every promise in the book is mine. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
And we have to start believing it.
Yeah, right.
I didn't get condemned one bit by everything that I saw come before me. Mm-hmm. Not one bit.
I got hope. Expectation, right? Hope.
Right. Yeah.
Hope.
Hope.
You know what I heard, or what came to me a little bit while you were talking, is people talk about faith, but you need a blind faith. See, what happens is we try and justify. We go through and we look at the word and we go, oh, yeah, it says this, so I can have faith that this is going to happen because it says this. You know, so if that is what really happens, if you wait on the word to have faith, you are the limiting factor how much faith you have. If you say, God is God, and eternal life is mine if I have that faith, you don't need anything else. Now, there's benefits. I'm not saying not
benefits.
But we tend to get in the way of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get in the way of faith because then we start to go, because we know, we see our sins, and because of that, then we pass judgments on, no, this will be withheld from us because we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy comes right in and says, well, why do you think you're entitled to this? You're not Christ-like. And it's just, you got to go back and say, I have faith that God will get me where I need to be. God will give me what I need to have.
See, the word says the opposite of all that, because the devil's a liar. So it says that you can be all those things.
Mm-hmm. You know, Peter started sinking when he took his eyes off the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, what kind of a crazy thing to do is that? Go walking on water, for crying out loud?
Well, he answered Christ's call.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started to think about what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And once he stopped looking up and started looking out, he started to fall.
Right.
Or fail, whichever way.
The reason the devil's telling you can't have these things is because you can have them.
Yeah, that's right.
You can have
that's
them.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing you can't. If you take on Christ, there's nothing God can't do. So there's nothing God can't do in you,
mm-hmm.
if you just simply believe.
Mm-hmm.
What you've got to do is get your brain out of the way and go, why would God do this for me, because I've got this, or I've got this feeling, and I go, and that's why, you know, while you were talking, I'm going, it requires a blind faith that the word is right.
Yes.
And then once you get past that, you go,
then your faith builds.
Then your faith can build, because you've taken the throttle out of there, which is you saying, I'm not worthy of this. You know, because we all, once we start deciding to take on judging how we're behaving, the enemy says, hey, you're right. That was a bad choice. You weren't nice to that person. You didn't show charity here. You didn't give here. You didn't go and do that. And then, oh, man, I'm a mess. And then instead of saying, God is greater than all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he is.
Can I go ahead. This has been brought up so many times about Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you believe that?
Mm.
Do you believe that you can have the power of his resurrection? Now, I don't say in what degree. Do you have faith that that can happen in you, if that's what you're seeking? Paul had faith in that, or he wouldn't have said it. You know, that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's a goal.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hope. And you know, he says, not that I have already attained it, or I'm already perfect, but I press on. Exactly. But you know what? He knew a whole bunch of that by what he preached.
Yes,
he did. Now, he, you know, mm-hmm. it makes it sound like maybe you can't ever know it first. I don't know. I don't even want to go there.
I was going to say, Paul is really a good example because he shows the potential of God, and he contrasts it against his own humanity and how he falls short of what God wants us to be. And then he comes back and says, but God can handle that. And if he goes, oh, at the end of the day, is this beyond what God can do? You know, and many things we go, God can do anything. God can do anything. Mm-hmm. Yep, then we go, well, could he do this? We question, well, could he do this with me? Because, you know, I'm less than spotless and white as snow.
Yes.
And the answer is, of course he can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I realize, you know, I've been doing this stuff for 40 plus years. And during all that time, there has been kind of a mental ascent to some of the stuff that we're saying, you know. And a lot of it was just a matter of good form. You know? Don't want to be rocking the boat. Don't want to, you know, that was a fair share of it. Some of it is, hey, go ahead and articulate your aspiration. But we've had such a culture, or whatever you want to call it, of saying these things and having them be just skin, you know, just on the surface, just skin deep. And we must not continue in that line of thinking. It has to, we can't continue with it. Now, it takes God. You know, it's not, I'm certainly not going to get it right by having my, you know, thinking corrected or whatever. It's not, that's not going to do it. But I think as you were kind of raising, Ken, you do have to open the door to the Lord on this stuff. I think you have to open the door.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, this is spirit. If you want these things, that's not your flesh. That's your spirit, which is in line with God. If you want those things, you know, it's, I'm going to read here in Colossians. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through what?
Faith.
In the working of God who raised him from the dead. And then I'm going to jump over to chapter 3, that's in 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is also our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, like right now sitting here, I know God wants us to have more faith. And I know he wants to give us more faith. Or he wouldn't be bringing this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know? And it's been brought previous, quite a few times, we've touched on faith. You know? So, I mean, when you say, you know, it, because this gets repeated a lot about being buried with him in baptism and raised with him in resurrection. Well, if you start believing that that's happened, then it's going to take us somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in a way, we really are giving lip service to the scripture that says, you know, ask for forgiveness, and he puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. I probably slightly misquoted that.
I think that's the essence.
But my point is, he says, ask for forgiveness, and you're forgiven. And these are gone and buried. And you're asking for fleshly sins forgiven. You're not asking for spiritual. You know, I don't know that you have spiritual sins, but my point is, we are told that all we have to do is this, and we can drop all of that hindrance because God said he's made that way. We just refuse to do it. And if it's kind of like, I'll relate a situation happened to me in my life when before I became a born-again Christian, which was I'm a Catholic. And I have had very few feelings in my life that equaled my first confession. When you go in and you basically wipe the slate clean of all your sins. You go in and say, forgive me for all of this. Well, I came out of the confessional, and I don't think I was walking on the ground. Because all of the guilt and all of the burdens that I was bringing on myself were gone for a brief moment. And that's the way we're supposed to be walking all the time. But we don't put it in the sea of forgetfulness. We just keep hanging on to it.
Yeah, that innocence of a child.
Uh-huh.
And I believe you, it was justified at that point. You were cleansed.
Yeah. You know? I felt good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Because I was walking without guilt. I mean, I had sinned, but I'd asked for forgiveness, and I was told I've been forgiven. You know, that lasted,
I
you
think
know.
The Lord can use that imperfect process to bring about his perfect will.
But that applies here. That's what I'm saying is, again, it's just, as you were bringing today, all I was thinking was, we try, and it's hard not to, but we, even where we've been, as we engage, you know, the Word is working in us. We're building the cornerstone. We've got faith because of our reflecting or diligently seeking the Lord day and night. And, you know, I keep coming around like, you know, there's nothing in that that's really impressive about you. But we keep coming, we can't get away from it in the natural. We go, well, you know, I'm doing this. And I go, and it's better. And I keep going, okay, that's all true. That is true. But you've got to come at it like little children. You've got to realize you don't really know anything. Well, you know, but the Spirit is giving you something. But what I heard today was, am I getting in the way of God doing what he wants to do with me? The answer is yes. And why am I doing that? Because I keep thinking too much about the flesh, and I keep thinking about whether or not I'm, how much am I diligently in the Word, and, you know, how come I treated so-and-so poorly, or why did I get mad at the dog, you know? I keep finding all of these things to say, I'm not worthy to have this gift of Christ. And that's just total deception from the enemy. Because that's not what the Word says.
That's a good way to put it. That's what I was meaning. I mean, I see, I can get in the way. You know?
It's the natural man gets in the way, though.
Yeah.
It's a sovereign work of the Lord to push aside. Keith had been bringing here, I forget what night it was, but reading the second part of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians there. You know, he talks about we prophesy in part, we pray in part, we see through a glass darkly and so forth. But then when that which is in part is done away, that it'll, you know, when the fullness comes, that which is in part will be done away. And somehow I've been dwelling on that passage there. And that is what we are in. We are in a natural state which is purely in part. It's just in part. Our meetings are in part. Praise the Lord for that part. But they are in part. But when that which is perfect, and I believe, surely it's heaven, but I think there might be that perfection can be ahead of us in a mighty ministry. I think that, you know, that thing is being referred to, or perhaps an echo of it or something. I don't know. But I think we can expect some of that perfection that's being talked about.
And
then that which is in part will be done away, but still, faith, hope, and charity.
Well, it's by faith that you can see that coming.
Yes.
And we have to
these
keep saying that.
They abide. Yeah, faith, hope, and, you know.
Yeah.
And the greatest of these is charity. You know. But it just kind of filled me with hope. But, you know, after Keith brought what he was bringing, and I was kind of dwelling on it and so forth, of the really good thing that is ahead of us. Really good. Hey, is it us? Don't we? It's not us. Of course it's not us. It's not. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. It's, you know, we could, I suppose, close the door to it, but that's, we don't have to, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I've been thinking, you know, I heard both of you in the last 4 or 6 weeks have made a comment while the Spirit is among us and we're sharing, have said something in effect like, I know I'm not walking good enough yet. I know that I'm not making good choices yet. And I'm sitting here going, okay. So it's kind of an acknowledgement that I'm not sinless. But the flip side of that is, so what are we doing? I mean, because I know that you struggled, Ken, about, you know, condemnation. You were kind of like, the enemy had got you twisted. And finally we said, you know, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation.
Right.
And to me, what I heard from you this morning was a continuation of getting set free from that. And Charlie, you made the comment to me, that, and I'm only just refreshing your memory. I'm not perfect in any way. But you've said, you know, I know that I could be doing better. You know, which is kind of the, yeah, I'm making choices that probably aren't right. But that's where I'm at. And then, but when you take this concept and you go, well, why are we not doing better? And you go, well, like I said before, because you acknowledge that you're not perfect and you're letting the enemy hold you back. Because you're saying, he's going, well. And so we're still, in a way, we've got to get free of us passing judgment on ourselves. And therefore, if we can see this, God can certainly see this, and he's going to somehow withhold this from us.
What I would encourage everyone to do is, what really helped me a lot was reading that what Jesus brings in John 17. Because if he, and it says, this is for also for, because you can at first say, no, he was addressing the disciples. And, but in there he goes, and this is for those who will also hear from them. And when you read that, I mean, you better get some hope out of that, because if he's saying what he says, that's because he knows every one of you and me, and this is what he wanted. This is what he prayed for us to have.
Yeah.
One with him, one with the Father, one together, you know, a oneness with him. Now, how much better can a oneness with Christ be? I mean, isn't that Christ in you? Isn't that dying, what, the whole thing about Christ? He says, that's my prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep mediating and what's the other one? Where you pray for people. Intercede for you continually in this manner. Yeah. You know?
And it's not a matter of, gee, this would really be nice, wouldn't it? It's
yeah.
a, hey, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, if we start listening to our spirit more than our flesh, man, you can keep building in all that stuff. And I started thinking, yeah, you know, well, you know what? I don't want to dwell on what my flesh is failing at.
Exactly.
I
want to
start dwelling on what my spirit is gaining, which it gained a whole bunch in the last few days,
yeah.
You know, because of the Word of God and because that scripture was brought, and then from that, God, I read so many scriptures that were just making me feel so good in God, you know.
Mm.
They just were starting to build up, you know.
Yeah.
Addition to your faith, your hope.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's so tied in.
Mm.
The hope of glory.
Yeah.
And glory is like being glorified. Glory is like the kingdom, you know. I mean,
that's what we want.
That's what we want.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're doing the stuff. as bad as we're doing it, that's why we're doing the stuff.
In response to both you, Corky, and you, Ken, no, we don't want to dwell on, you know, the failings of our flesh. I do think there is value in, rather than jamming all the clutter in the closet, pulling it out and say, hey, it's here.
Lay it before the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is
my weaknesses, but in faith, I believe you can bring me out of them.
Yes.
You don't want
the hypocrisy going on.
No.
A real nice spot when you've got a bunch of ugly stuff in the closet.
I didn't want to convey that. But we give, like Corky said, way too much credit to the enemy in that area because it's our flesh. Yes, our flesh is sin. The Bible says so. The Word says it.
Yeah.
But when you've been raised and born again and baptized into his death and raised, that no longer has a...
Oh, that is a much more advanced state. That's where I was.
Yeah, it should have power anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah, amen.
Your power should be in your new resurrected life, you know?
That is the meat of the Word, not the milk.
Right, the meat, not the milk.
That's good. Lord, do that good work in us.
Amen, Lord.
Do that good work in us. Lord, that we would know that Christ in us. Be fully aware of it. Just know it as we know the nose on our face, Lord. That it is Christ in us. And Lord, that Christ is the hope of glory. Oh, Lord,
yes,
do that good work in us.
For that hope of glory.
Oh, do that good work in us.
And you know, I'm sitting here as you were praying. I thought, part of my dilemma is I haven't prayed enough. I mean, praying like, Lord, I know that you've known every temptation, and it says you can keep me from every temptation. Your strength, your power can keep me if I just call on you. And if I would pray to you that I would get stronger in this area and weaker in this area, and then keep looking for it so when it shows up, I can go, nope, I don't want that thought. You know, like Keith, you say, you know, start gaining control of those things. And it's just because I've just been blasé, kind of, you know, which, you know, it's okay to admit that now. That's not in defeat. That's just recognizing where you were and
recognizing growth in God.
Yeah, because he can, if we call on him, he can help us in a lot of these things. I just haven't been calling on him. I have occasionally, and I've actually seen the fruits of it. But it's you know what? It's a continuous thing. It's like if you're going to meditate in the Word day and night, you got to be calling on the Lord day and night to be walking with him. You know, I mean, it's kind of, and I haven't seen that and done that, but now I'm seeing a hope, you know?
Yeah.
It's
glory. Yeah, amen.
Keep going back to that picture of Peter walking on the water, and as soon as his eyes go down, and looking at Peter and with the discussion this morning, I can't imagine that him walking on water had anything to do with his accomplishments or how he had done that week.
Yeah.
You know how it's easy to put him that it has actually probably nothing to do with his performance one way or the other.
You know it's coming.
And what if his eyes started focusing on I imagine if it were me, I'd be looking at the water going, ah, that's water there. But also, he might be looking, when he looked down, he may have started looking at what he was doing, how he did that week, and where he might have started focusing on those things that our mind go to, that Satan wants us to stay there. But we all know in this room that there was a faith element that was, that's what made it possible.
Yes.
Was a faith element.
So what's the difference between coming to the Lord and following his command of doing what he was told to do,
uh-huh,
versus thinking, what am I doing?
Yes. Well, when he called out, Lord, tell me to come.
All he said, Lord, if you speak it. He gave him the authority, and he said, Jesus says, come. So, in faith,
yes,
he says, I can do this because I'm not doing it because I'm doing it. I'm doing it,
yes,
because I'm following, in faith, God's,
yes,
will.
And being there, you know, and his spirit being there.
I think it's hard because I don't know how long I could have gone from I'm just doing what God wants to, like, I'm walking on water.
Yeah.
And I
feel pretty good about it. Hey,
I haven't been able to do this before. This is a good thing.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
And
taking a little credit for it, you know?
Well, I'm really doing this. You know, and then and forgetting, you ain't doing nothing.
Right.
And that's kind of where we get this other trap comes in, like, well, look at all the things you're doing wrong, Lee. Oh, yeah.
You know, walk in the Spirit. Even on water, walk in the Spirit.
Yeah. We have such grand things that we can expect to have happen, though.
Yes.
Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's just... stuff, what's going on now is so minimal compared to what's...
There are so many examples of, what happens if you trust God.
Yeah.
And realize...
Oh, yeah, the Bible gives us a whole, whole lot of fuel for a lot of good expectation.
Yes. I mean, it's not like it's this empty, hollow promise. I mean, look what you can do in my name, and, you know...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's...
And when he makes the comment, oh, ye of little faith, it's like, oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine how difficult it would be to have to cross cross that bridge? Wow. Really, guys?
Yeah. Well, Ken, that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just... I thought, I hope anybody on the tape doesn't take this wrong, but this whole situation is a blessing.
Mm.
You know why some of this is happening? I'm at home with nothing to do. All of a sudden, I'm not busy. And I just started thinking, a lot more time to pray, a lot more time to read the Word. Because I'm not being drawn off anywhere I can.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I'm thinking, Lord, help me take advantage of this time. You know? Get me strong so when it goes back to normal, I can ward off all that other stuff. You know?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
In a way, we can't help ourselves. We think naturally minded ways, including judging ourselves. And it's like, and we do that because we know that we're not equipped to judge spiritually. So we do what we can do, and the enemy says, "I gotcha."
Yes.
And it's like, oh.
Lord, for everyone out there, you are greater than anything the enemy has. You are greater. And so we call on your name and we ask you to rebuke him and come against him, Lord.
Yes.
And to do that work in us, Lord. And of course, some of it you may allow because it doesn't work. And you know that. We don't.
Yeah.
So, Lord, let us trust in you. And, Lord, just like has been prayed so many times before, bring us into your will, Lord, that we would walk in your will.
Amen.
Lord, yes.
Yes, yes. Lord. Amen. Jesus' name.
Ah, yes, Lord.
That wasn't to end anything. That was just...
Let's see. Bonus prayer?
Yeah.
You were saying, you know, we don't pray enough. You know, I take that, I accept it, and then the other thought was, Jesus says, and you don't even know how to do that. You know. So it's kind of like, you know, we can pray a lot, we can pray more, we can make a, you know, I'm going to do this. And then I'm thinking, Lord, let me make it effectual. Let me pray in a way, you know, don't make it vain, repetitious. Don't make it, Lord. Help me to be prayerful in a good way.
It was, and this is not blowing any horns or anything, because it's the first time I've done it, but I came Friday night, and Charlie was here, and most of our prayer was, I mean, he was over there, and I'm all way over here, was in tongues, because, you know, and then I would get things that I'd pray on, but I knew I got to a point, and I went, well, I'm going to tell Charlie, this is it, I'm done, this is all I got, because I'm not good at this yet, or used to it yet, or whatever, you know. And it was honesty, you know. I was only good for so long.
Yeah.
But it's a start.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, I last couple Fridays, it's been, oh, yeah, I remember doing this.
Yeah,
that's pretty sad, isn't it? yeah, this is good. That's, oh, well. Pray always would be a good thing.
Well, the one good thing about that, if you're praying versus trying to do something, which kind of can fall into a work, which can fall into, you know, poorly motivated decision, like, I got to go, you know. I mean, it's nothing wrong with witnessing. There's nothing, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, praying to God takes away any doubt that all you're trying to do is be closer to him. And that's really where I'm trying to be.
Jesus prayed a lot.
Aligned with his purposes.
Yes, he did.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if he did.
Well,
you know, I read a little setting where he said, I speak the words that he's given me, and then look, I don't know if it's in that, but he says, and what I was taught by him.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant he had to be spending time with God if he was being taught by him.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So
I said, he seems to have missed out on some sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not quite there yet.
Boy, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, you could so relate to those disciples that were with him. I mean,
yeah, right.
And he said, pray that you not be led into temptation. So it's kind of it kind of showed that, yeah, because the flesh was stronger than the spirit at that point is why they all fled him, you know, when they came and grabbed him. But then they learned from it. You know, God used it to bring him back. You know. I really, that setting of Peter, I mean, when he realized he had denied him, I just love the part where, because I know that's his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And,
crashed through to him when he heard that rooster.
And then he went and wept.
Yeah.
Because he knew.
Mm-hmm.
Wept bitterly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that one too.
Yeah. that's exactly what God wanted.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was, you know, he was changed from that point on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting how utterly unconscious he was as he was doing the denying, you know. Wasn't at all tuned in to that Jesus said, hey, Jesus said I was going to do this. No, he was just, you know.
And all this happened, that whole time period was probably less than 4 or 5 hours.
Something like that.
Yeah, in the evening. No, I don't know. He was swearing even, you know. And it's like, you just said 3 hours ago. Which all of them said, you know. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a classic example of the flesh winning out.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't quite have the vision yet of the resurrection intentionally, but, you know, they knew dying wasn't a good thing. And so they said, well, I should be trying to avoid the dying part here. And
even though I said
I'd be willing to die for you.
Well, self-preservation kicks in.
It is. Yeah, right, exactly. So Peter's quite the, we can talk about him a lot. Because he definitely is the yin. He's the yin and yang of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally is. On one hand, he demonstrates more faith. And on the other hand, as you said, he just goes unconscious. He knows, he gets the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, and then he tries to deny Jesus fulfilling the Father's plan, and says, get behind me, Satan. You go. The guy definitely had the biggest peaks of the biggest valleys.
It's funny to say, but you know, that Bible is really good. It's got some good stuff in there.
There's some value meditating on it.
Right. You know, you start reading. I mean, but, you know, speaking after the manner of man, it described really well what the process is that Peter was going through there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So Peter, somehow or other, I've been thinking you've got something more to say. Well.
Not today.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it didn't come, but what you're saying is the thing that the church is pretty well ignorant of is the fact that all truth is contained in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't mean that men don't speak truth occasionally by accident, you know, but...
I don't know how, but a little truth seeped out.
Yeah, they have to accidentally come up with truth sometimes. But, you know, it says in Timothy, it says to avoid the science, falsely so-called, and which is trying to get knowledge through natural observation. And that's what the church does too. It's like they read the scriptures and through natural observation, they're coming up with what they think is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been subject to that for years. And I would be in, you know, I've been in quite a number of different churches, and I heard what the pastors had to say and, you know, their observation or what, you know, or what the church believed and so forth. And anyway, it was all a natural observation.
Yeah.
There was no spiritual input whatsoever. They weren't going by the Holy Spirit, but we were taught that they were. You know.
Yeah. Or pathetic.
And without saying too much here, but
yeah.
I've been in an environment where I was taught that the pastor gets the spiritual input from the Holy Spirit, the truth elements, and then he passes it on, you know, and then the next one gets, and after a while, what you hear, if that were the case, and one passes on to another one, after a while, you're going to have some nuts of things being taught. And the thing is, the only thing that makes sense is that each one is taught by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
And because if the Holy Spirit teaches one and they teach somebody else, it's not going to come out right.
That's right. You referred to what Steve Fay had brought about, the only true thing is
truth
in the universe is the Word of God. I realize I know that in only part, only in part and rather small part. I mean,
We all do, but it's the
extent to which I know. Yes, that is true. That's just in small part. And I think what Ken was bringing was expansion of that knowledge. That this is the truth.
I know it, but I don't know it.
Right.
It's kind of like you know what I mean. I do know that. When I heard of the voice. You know, and it says, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Well, it became obvious after a while that he was talking about his word. And not even sure who spoke to me, you know. But anyway, I have slowly over the years have gained the faith. Nature, something, until I am more and more convinced that God's word is the only is a sole source of truth.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You should have been hesitating. It was the faith nature.
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah.
That's why.
And
you know?
That's what we gain.
Yeah.
And you were talking about that one scripture that's in. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You know what? That's impossible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
It's impossible. But when Pablo said that day, and I knew that he didn't have 100% grasp on it. I don't either. But I realize that is somehow by faith. You can't do it naturally, but by faith, you can do it until these thoughts don't torment you. You know, just like I don't know, one of you guys said something about not being condemned or by repenting or by going through. I think Corky said something about it. What was it?
I was just saying that we, in the natural, tend to dwell on our failings, and so we condemn ourselves, and the enemy takes advantage of that. Instead of looking at the flip side of that, which is by faith, we know that all our sins are forgiven, and put into the sea of forgiveness, and we don't dwell on that. We dwell on our failings, not on
yeah,
the hope.
There's a scripture. I think it's in 1 John, the 3rd or 4th chapter. I'm not sure, but it says, "If your heart does not condemn you, then you have peace with God." Well, you know what? God has made your heart, and He made you in such a way that your heart will condemn you if it's not right with God.
Then they go on to say. And if your heart does condemn you, God is bigger than your heart.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is important given what we're talking about today.
Right.
Yeah. You got to believe those things. They're true.
Right. But God is bigger than your heart.
Well, we know they're true because
that's
we
a good
the word,
thing.
And therefore it is true.
But the closer we get to God and the more we're in this place, the less the heart condemns us because God changes the heart, He changes us.
Yeah.
And every one of us have gone through some major changes, inward changes. You know what? Not perfection, we haven't reached any great plateau, but that's not the point. The point is a change in the willingness on our part to let it happen.
The striving for perfection.
Yeah.
I remember when I first learned to ride a bike.
Running the race.
You know, you wobble and you wobble and you know, you're not doing it. And then, you know, and then, hey, a little bit, you know, yeah. And then pretty soon you're sailing right along. And it's not an awful lot of time, long period between the time you're wobble, and you're sailing right along. I think we could have sailing right along not very far ahead of us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, if we get out of the way.
Right. Well, I
hold ourselves back.
Right.
Yeah. We've had too many dreams, like the one that Candy had this morning. There's been too many of them now. At some point, God is going to do something with us.
Uh-huh.
And so we just, what we need to do is just be, I mean, don't try to make it happen. Just be in prayer for God to do what God wants to do.
Amen.
The revelation that Jesus is a man is not a little one.
Well, and the revelation of don't try to make it happen, let it happen.
Yeah. But that's not a little revelation. And yet, the church is in ignorance in this area. But there's a lot of people that are not.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily in church, but, you know what I mean? They're not ignorant of this.
Yeah.
And I've got some people that I want to talk to about it really bad. One of these
days,
they will happen.
I, you know, when Gene and I were in Arizona, we went to a couple of services. You know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was nice. I got no sense that these folks were saying, what we have right now is not good enough, but let's strive for something better. I got no sense of that.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I got no sense of that. And boy, you need that. Hey, this is, this is not good enough. We got to get something better.
If it's not unfolding, it's dead.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, if we've got the whole recipe, we're done.
And constantly what I get out of us, and I, especially myself, I'm saying, Lord, I'm not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that I'm not satisfied with God, but I'm not satisfied with work, with my relationship.
Uh-huh.
I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to be, and God will make it up.
Yeah.
He'll change us. He'll do what needs to be done. I need a change. I need him to do something.
As I've said before more than once,
yeah.
God has given us tastes of what fullness in God is like. In our body.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had moves and we've had experiences of what it is when God moves in a more powerful way.
Yeah.
And so we know that it's available. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody should have faith that God can do what God's going to do, we should.
It should be us. Yes,
we should. On the other hand, I think, in all fairness, not to puff anybody up, but the enemy is not ignorant of this either. So we've been given a lot, and then we get challenged on a lot. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't rise above the challenge because we get stuck on our own self-reflection of incrimination of a failure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
that's one reason I was glad that we had a service today. I thought, the devil has beat us up and beat us up and beat us up, and this is one of the few things where we have a chance to let the Holy Spirit speak through us and give us guidance. And Satan, you can't do it to us.
Not going to give in to that. We're going to give in to God.
Yeah.
So on that, amen.
All right. Good.